I was wondering what you think Kellen is going to do. About what? About the messengers coming and what happened with Dylan. Plus, with Kellen making everything how it was before. Except for Leah. Her life is worse now. Gus shrugged. At least she didn't lose her parents. At least she had parents before. Who were horrible to her? She whipped back at me, glaring. Gus stood, her shoulders rigid, and she took a deep breath. The anger clung to her, but she tried to control it. When she had, she asked further, Do you know what Kellen is going to do when the messengers come? I don't know, and I didn't. Have you ever dealt with a messenger before? She swallowed tightly and shook her head. No. You? Yes. But I shook my head. No. I bet Kellen has. He's the most powerful, except you. But do you think? She looked up, hopeful. I can't control my powers. The hope vanished, and she hung her head again. I suppose. Vesper's worried. He doesn't want to say anything, but I can tell. He doesn't even want to go mess with some humans. I thought it'd be fun, maybe make him feel better, but he said it'd make things worse since Kellen warned us not to do anything. I nodded. That's a smart move. She sighed, biting her lip, and then crossed her arms over her chest, hugging herself. I don't know what to do. I'm scared, and I'm worried about Vesper. You don't think... Do you think we'll survive this? Maybe we should run. If Kellen thought we should run, he'd tell us. He hasn't said anything about that, though. Yeah, you're right. Then she looked up again, but her eyes skimmed over me as she kept looking around the room. I made some food. Do you want some? Sure. I frowned as my sister left with a little bounce in her walk. She seemed more carefree, as if she'd unloaded some of her worries on me. I had no idea how that happened, but it was Gus. Sometimes my sister didn't make sense to me, what she thought or felt even. What I do know was that she'd go straight to Vesper and tell him about the change in my looks. He'd in turn go to Kellen and ask what they meant, why I looked different. What Kellen would say was a mystery to me. I only knew he wouldn't give them the whole truth, but some of the truth. Or he might give them a complete lie, but I'd follow his lead. Then, as I went downstairs, I saw both of the twins at the table with our esteemed older brother, who lifted his eyes and scrutinized me for a moment. I felt him searching inside of me, but then he looked back at his fruit, dismissing me. Vesper's eyebrows twitched when I sat across from him, but he didn't say or let any other emotion slip out. His eyes only slid to Gus, who gave him a grin in turn. And to this, he rolled his eyes, shaking his head, and went back to eating his toast. Coffee, Shay? Gus slid a cup across the table to me. I reached for it, surprised at the gesture, but it was knocked over when Kellen jerked the table, moving his chair closer to it. Hey! I cried out. Kellen shrugged. Sorry. Vesper frowned for a split second, but then he stood and grabbed the coffee pot. I'll pour you another one, Shay. Actually, I was going to take her into town. We can pick up some more there. That stuff smells foul. Kellen stood and took my elbow. Come on. I have an appointment with the principal. We're all going to be homeschooled for the rest of the year.
We are?
Gus sounded surprised.
Can you just do that?
When I get him in his office alone, yeah, I can. He won't even know he's signing the papers until they're already processed. Mom and Dad called ahead on our behalf anyway. Where are they, anyway? I haven't seen them this morning. Vesper leaned against a counter and slid his hands into his front pockets, looking casual. His eyes weren't, as they seemed to study every word and action from Kellen. I told them to leave. They aren't safe here. And we are? Vesper stood now with his hands still in his pockets. Kellen moved, so I stood slightly behind him, and Gus stood also, slower. She was in the middle and glanced between her two brothers uneasily. Then her eyes shifted to mine, and I knew she was asking me what was going on. I shrugged. It was between the guys, not us. Right now, I think we'll be fine, but we'll see once the messengers arrive. Kellen shifted his hold on my elbow and urged me upstairs. Go get your stuff. We gotta go now. As I darted upstairs, I knew something had just happened between Vesper and Kellen. Whatever it was, I had no idea, but when I grabbed my purse and bag, everyone was quiet as I got back downstairs. Kellen gave me a closed grin and held open the door. Come on, sis. It's my treat at the coffee shop. I ducked under his arm, and as he let it go, I heard Gus mutter inside, I want to go for some coffee. Shut up, Vesper snapped at her, and then the door closed, shutting out anything else he might have said. Come on. Kellen took my elbow again and led me to his car. Once we were inside, I asked him, glaring, what's with the manhandling? I can walk all by myself, you know. He glanced at me from the corner of his eye, but didn't respond as he drove onto the street and headed toward town. After a few more minutes, I asked again, what's going on? What just happened back there? He grimaced, watching the street. No one but you drinks coffee. You don't think it's odd that he made a pot, just for you? He gave that cup to Gus. He wanted her to offer it to you.
What are you saying?
What did Gus say when she went to your room?
Nothing. She asked what you thought we should do about the messengers. She said that Vesper was worried.
Vesper's more than worried. He's already figured out his plan, and that's a sacrifice. He wants to give you up, saying that you did everything.
What?
My mouth fell open. I heard him planning it this morning.
He was planning that with Gus?
She doesn't know. She went upstairs to distract you, make you think they're going to do what we want, but it's not true. He sent her up there to say that to you, but she doesn't know why. Gus is left in the dark, but I heard his thoughts. It's what woke me up. Then he grimaced. And he's scared about your appearance. He doesn't know what it means, that you look different. But he's worried that it's because of your powers. You might be more in control of them.
I swallowed tightly, feeling betrayed. A whirl of emotions was going through me, but I asked, dumbfounded, And what about you? Doesn't he think you'd be mad about me?
He thinks I'll miss you, but I'd understand in the long run. He also thinks it would impress me that he thought of that on his own. He thinks he would save us from the messengers.
What an idiot.
Kellen grinned, but then sobered. He suspects that I knew what he was doing. I didn't want you to drink the coffee, and normally I wouldn't care. Vesper's not stupid. He's now more worried than before since I went against his plan, either by accident or on purpose. If it's the latter, then he knows I chose my allegiance.
And it's not with him.
Exactly.
Kellen took my hand as he pulled up outside of our school.
I want you to stay in here.
Why?
His eyes shifted past my shoulders and he nodded in that direction. Because you have a visitor.
I looked over and saw the painter. He stood in the shadows of some trees on the edge of our school's lawn.
As Kellen got out and headed inside, I followed suit, but went the opposite direction. When I drew closer, I saw the painter was in a hooded sweatshirt with it pulled over his head. His eyes were so bright, trying to look inside of me, but he remained where he stood. His hands, like Vesper's, were also stuffed in his front pockets. He looked casual, but the tension was thick around him, clinging to his form. I stopped just before him, unsure what to say.
She got out. He spoke first.
I nodded and gestured to my arm.
The tattoo changed, too.
Your messenger side is powerful now. Almost more powerful than your human side. But she's quiet. Why is she quiet?
I have no idea. I'm still adjusting to being a hybrid and all these new changes with having a messenger inside of me.
She's a part of you. She's just been separated because that's what you wanted. You didn't want to be intertwined with the messenger, so you separated yourself from her. You've given her an altogether separate personality because of it. It's not right to have something inside of you that you can't control. And you don't control her. You know that, right?
I gulped. Control her? I didn't even know she had a different personality. How do I do that?
Stop denying who you are, for one. As you become more familiar with your messenger side, you'll become more whole and her personality will become meshed with you. It's the only way you can control her, if you take control of yourself.
It made perfect sense when he said it, but doing it was a whole different story.
I'll get to working on that then. He frowned and jerked forward, but stopped and slammed back against the tree.
I'm sorry, I reacted and I shouldn't have.
What?
Nothing.
He looked away and hunched his shoulders forward.
Does Kellen know what you are going to do when your father comes to town?
I swallowed tightly. My throat felt like bark had grown inside suddenly. I haven't told him that information yet.
You should. You have to. He needs to know. Otherwise, everything might be ruined. You might be ruined.
Riddles. Everything was riddles.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell him. Mean it, Shay. Kellen has to know. He's bonded to your human side. He's been able to control his demon side because of it when he's around you. But if your father arrives, and he's not prepared, his demon might react too strongly. Someone will die. Someone you'll need for your survival.
So you're helping me now?
You're helping him?
The painter drew back, straightening against the tree, and gave me a rueful grin.
I guess so, yeah.
I was tempted to roll my eyes. I was beyond really trusting anyone anymore, even Kellen. I knew he was still keeping secrets from me, but I was slowly starting to believe he had my best interest at heart. I watched him carefully when I asked, "What's your place in all this? You said before that you were a part of me too, the messenger part. Are our messengers bonded together?" Then I did roll my eyes. "And can you at least tell me your name?" He chuckled softly.
"My name is Damien."
"It's nice to meet you, Damien."
"And my messenger side is bonded to yours in a family way."
Oh, that was different.
"So not the soulmate way?"
"No, not at all.
Let's leave it at that."
Then he straightened and nodded past me.
"Your soulmate is back there, waiting for you. He knows I don't mean you trouble, or him for that matter."
Then his eyes gleamed brightly and he whispered, "As long as he's truthful to you, then he won't need to worry about me." Tingles went through me at his words and I knew he had sent them to Kellen. He wanted his message heard, and glancing over my shoulder, I felt the anger start to grow with my soulmate. Kellen got the message loud and clear, and didn't enjoy the threat, but he remained by the car, waiting.
"Damien told me, when your father comes to town, he's going to seek me out. He'll want to know where you are and what demons you are living with. Your mother has been hidden to him since she gave birth to you. He holds a grudge against her for that, but he's coming for you. The Braden twins gave him the excuse to come here, and he won't be happy about Kellen. I know he doesn't know of the demon or how you are bonded to him. Your father will be enraged and will try to break the bond."
Okay, now I was worried.
"What are you saying? Could that even happen? Could the bond be destroyed? And if so, then what would happen after that?"
He seemed to choose his words carefully.
"Just that it would be smart if you strengthened your bond."
My mouth went dry at that. "What do you mean by that?"
He grinned crookedly. "You can take it any way you want. Kellen will know. But if the two of you are strong enough, your father will know not to even try to break the bond. If you two work together as a team, you could be powerful. More powerful than you could imagine."
Well, that was nice and cryptic. I was left annoyed and slightly speechless when Damien gave me a small hug before he left through the trees. I stood there for another minute before I turned and slowly walked back to the car, back to Kellen. He straightened and asked, watching where I had left,
"What did he say?"
Oh, you don't want to know. I laughed with a hysterical note in my voice. Kellen narrowed his eyes.
"What's wrong with you?"
"Oh, nothing. Just that my father is going to try to destroy our bond and we're supposed to make it stronger. Oh, and that my father is actually coming here for me, not for Gus or Vesper. They're just his excuse to come here. Oh, I should have first told you that my father is the messenger coming here." I threw my hands up.
"Surprise! I'm going to meet my dad soon. How lovely!"
Kellen arched an eyebrow and folded his arms over his chest.
"Did he do something to you just now? This isn't normal, Shay."
"It's not a normal day for me. I find out about you, about me, about my father coming, and that guy is family to me. Did you know that?"
I jerked a thumb over my shoulder.
He was silent for a moment and then said grudgingly,
"I see your point."
That made me laugh harder. The hysterical note grew in volume until I was bent over, clutching my stomach and slowly falling to my knees on the ground, sobbing from the laughter. Kellen watched me for another moment and bent to wrap his arms around me. Lifting me in the air, he held me against his chest while I started to sob into his shoulder. One of his hands smoothed back some of my hair while his thumb brushed at my tears while he was still holding me. After a few moments, when my sobs had started to subside, I hiccuped against his shirt. "I'm sorry. I'm a bit not normal right now. And Vesper tried to kill me." I didn't even know how to comprehend that one. Kellen whispered against my forehead, pressing a soft kiss there. "Vesper will be dealt with. Trust me." It shouldn't have comforted me, but it did. When he kissed my forehead again and then bent to softly kiss my cheek, I closed my eyes and curled into him, feeling safe, even though I didn't know if I should. Leah. Across the school parking lot, standing inside the doors, Leah watched them from a window. Hatred boiled inside of her, and she frowned with her fingers curled so tightly into the window frame that it drew blood from underneath her nails. Dylan came to stand beside her, glancing from the blood under her hands and her stony face to the couple where her gaze was frozen. He sighed.
"They're not who you think they are,"
she clipped out. "I know." When Shay had asked about her parents, something unlocked in her mind. Memories flew back at her, drifting in and out of focus, but they were there. She felt them. She heard her parents' laughter, her own with them. Then she heard raised voices, threats from a man's voice. His hands touched her, made her do things that brought shame to her. Cringing on the inside, Leah wanted it all to go away, but she knew it wouldn't. They were permanently there, and they shifted alongside her new memories. Nothing made sense to her, but the memories and emotions haunted her. She knew they would always haunt her. But one memory that was perfectly clear was the night her parents were killed. Vesper and Gus had rung her doorbell, and she had answered it, thinking they were there with some information about Kellen. She'd been so excited, thinking that Kellen would come to help her, save her. But he didn't. He sent those two, and they had pushed their way inside with a sick gleam in both of their eyes. When her stepfather had demanded to know who they were, what the hell they were there for, Gus had laughed. Laughed as she flicked a knife in the air. It landed perfectly in his chest, but it hadn't been enough. The female Brayden had danced to him, took the knife out, and then slit his throat, giggling when he gaped at her with his eyes wide. When his body slid to the ground, Leah's mother and real father had come out of the garage, alarmed. Then Vespar had gone mad, lunging for them through the air. He'd taken their heads. Leah trembled, clasping her eyes shut. She didn't want to remember it. She didn't want to hear their surprise or their agony, how they had begged for their lives. "We can make them hurt." Dylan touched her arm. "Kellen tried to erase my memory, but it didn't work. I knew a spell that kept it from happening. His power can't touch me."
"How do you know that stuff?"
she whispered, choking on vomit.
"My grandmother. She told me about things like them, what we can do to protect ourselves against them. They killed my entire family."
"I saw your brother in school today."
"Gus killed them, but I think Kellen brought them back to life."
He took her shoulders and turned her to him.
"They can do things like that, but we can stop them. We can hurt them."
With tears running down her face, Leah frowned. "How? They're so powerful." She looked back and felt another stab in her heart when she saw Kellen place a gentle kiss on Shay's forehead with his hand holding her cheek. It was a tender gesture, but could they feel tenderness? Did they feel love? Why did she feel comforted by him? Dylan drew back, smiling.
"I know what to do. Do you trust me?"
She jerked her gaze back to his and took a deep breath.
"I want the memories to go away. I can't stand it. I'm haunted, Dylan. They made that happen. I feel like I've been ripped apart and sewn back together with a knife and rope."
"I'll make it better. I promise."
Dylan took her hand and squeezed. Then he slid an arm around her shoulder and drew her against him.
Come on. We've got lots of work to do.
Leah looked back over her shoulder, but Kellen and Shay had disappeared.
Chapter 14. Kellen drove through the night. At first I didn't realize that we hadn't gone back to the house. I hadn't wanted to ask because I wasn't sure what I was going to do about Vesper. But when we'd been driving for an hour, I knew we weren't going home. So I looked up and regarded him. He had a determined look on his face, like he could do anything at that moment. Then I felt a tug in my stomach. It was Kellen, telling me he didn't want to talk at that moment, but to trust him. That's when I knew something more than learning that we were soulmates had changed between us. Something had started to grow between us like an invisible rope, and I felt it pull me. It pulled on me when I'd been standing with Damien. Kellen had tugged on it, and I knew what he wanted me to know, that it was okay to talk to other Nephilim, and that he wasn't worried about Damien anymore. Now he pulled on it again, and I knew we'd be driving for a long time that night. So I moved to the back seat and lay down, closing my eyes. I didn't need to sleep, but I rested there anyway, listening to the drive, feeling Kellen and how something rock solid had come over him. When the first light of dawn started to peek over the horizon, I sat up, realizing I had fallen asleep for a bit. Kellen still looked refreshed. Then I grinned and leaned over my chair's headrest in the front. You look like you could drive for a week straight. The invisible rope relaxed, and I knew Kellen had relaxed with it. The corner of his mouth quirked upward. I needed to make sure we'd get a head start. From? My mind wandered a bit, and I knew whom he meant. From Vespar? Kellen nodded, grim again. Where are we going?
To get some help.
What? My head jerked up. From who?
Another messenger.
He watched me in the rearview mirror, his eyes studying me, wanting to know everything I felt.
She's friendly to some of us. She's not aligned with your father.
Why?
Because you need to know answers that I can't give you, and you need to learn about what you can do. It'll help you be able to control the messenger inside of you.
I shook my head, feeling I didn't even know. Nervous, agitated, scared, and pissed.
You just decided this without even talking to me about it?
A glimmer of a smile appeared over his face, but his eyes snapped to mine, angry.
We need space from Vesper right now, unless you're ready to declare war with him and face the consequences. Then we needed to get away. He won't know where we are. He can't track us if we're driving in a car using human transport. He definitely won't want to follow us, even if he does figure out where we've gone. This messenger is not one to take lightly. She loathes demons that kill.
I sat back and muttered, faint under my breath. And Vesper loves to kill.
Yes.
Kellen stopped the car and turned around. His eyes were fierce.
He does. He does now. He started when we were young, but now the taste is unquenchable in him. He won't stop. He can't.
Then we have to kill him. Even as I said it, no emotion was evoked inside of me. Shouldn't I have cared? He was my half-brother.
That's not a question. What is the question, is Gus, what she'll do when we kill Vesper, if we can trust her or not.
I closed my eyes swiftly, feeling a stab of pain in my heart. He was right. Gus would go crazy if we took away her other half. She'd go mad and she'd go dark, really dark. I bit my lip because I realized that Vesper wasn't really the one we were avoiding. It was what we'd have to do about our sister. My sister. I felt another tug on my stomach and opened my eyes. Kellen was watching me. He was always watching me. This time he asked with his eyes if I was all right, and I nodded, closing off my emotions, pushing them down. We'd do what we had to do. And then I cleared my throat and asked with a raspy voice,
How much farther?
He nodded outside.
We're here. This is where we're staying.
We had parked outside a small white house. Trees surrounded it, not allowing for a lawn. As I got out of the car, I heard the sounds of a small river close by. I walked around the back of the house, stepping carefully around the trees. The roots had started to grow out of the ground, and I climbed up on one that curved higher than the rest. As I did, with a hand resting on the massive oak beside it, I saw a sparkling body of water that rested just underneath a small hill behind the house. A waterfall filled it from my right, splashing onto smooth rocks that glistened underneath the water. Kellen climbed up beside me and rested an arm behind me, placing it on the tree next to mine. I leaned back against him and asked, "What is this place? It's beautiful."
"It's a sanctuary."
He touched my shoulder and turned so we looked at the house.
"The house is protected. The only things the human eye can detect are the trees. No human can see the house, and no tree will fall onto it in a storm. They're magically entrusted to. This spot is where the oldest and toughest trees live. They're alive, Shay."
I turned wide-eyed to him, and he grinned.
"Not in the manner like they can talk to us, but they know they're here to protect the house. They'll hide it from anything we want them to. They draw their strength and knowledge from the water."
"Let me guess, it has magic in it too?"
"A little."
Kellen tapped my forehead and chuckled. Then he wrapped his hand around my waist and whooshed us from the trees and in front of the house to a small porch wide enough for two sets of feet. The door seemed to grow in front of our eyes until it reached to the top of the roof and separated into two doors. Kellen reached for the handle and waited. The door handle vibrated, turning underneath his hand. It stopped suddenly and the doors opened, as if the house decided we could enter. A breeze from the sudden movement rushed back against us and my eyes widened in surprise when I saw inside. The house was small from the outside, but the inside was grand. Kellen waited on the porch as I wandered inside, gazing upward. Stairs wrapped around the house, leading to three levels inside. Then I moved back outside and saw there was only one level from there. I shook my head and went back inside. Kellen followed this time and the doors whisked shut with a loud bang behind us. I walked around the living room, trailing a finger over a glass bookshelf. This entire place has magic, doesn't it? The house included.
"It's a sanctuary for us, built to withstand darkness and good. It knows that creatures such as ourselves, who have both in them, need safety here."
He placed two bags near the steps.
"This was given to me by my mother. Only she knows of its existence, other than you and me now."
My eyes fell on my book bag and a sense of wonderment came over me. "You planned this last night, didn't you? You knew Vesper would do something, and you knew we'd have to leave. You had every intention of taking me away with you, but why did we go to the school?"
"I went and erased our existence with the school. I left Vespers, but made Gus disappear too. Your father will find Vesper's name, but no one else. He won't find you. That's all I'm concerned about right now."
My eyes lifted to him. He was watching me, gazing at me with an emotion in him that I'd never seen or felt. I'd felt possession, obsession, fury, laughter, but this was different. There was a tenderness laced with it, and a different realization occurred to me. "You're not afraid of the messengers, are you?" Kellen never looked away, but drifted closer to me. He lifted a hand and cupped the side of my face, holding it gently.
"I'm not."
But I saw something else. He was scared of them, but not for himself. "You're scared for me, aren't you?" I was breathless when I asked that. He shook his head and a wall slammed down in his eyes. The rope that connected us went slack. It was still there. I didn't think even Kellen could make that connection go away now, but it was so loose it was almost as if there was no connection. Then I tightened it and watched how he stiffened in shock. "Didn't know I could do that too, huh?" He grinned before turning away. I let him go, releasing my hold on the connection, and followed him into the kitchen where I sat. "When are we going to see this messenger?" She's coming to us. He was rummaging through a cupboard with his head shoved inside. His voice came out muffled.
What? I sat up straight. But you just said this place was safe for you and me. If she comes, then she knows where it is, where we are.
She's an ally. We'll be safe with her. Trust me that you can trust her.
Kellen kept shifting through things, moving things aside.
What are you doing?
I thought some food was here. We need to eat a little bit.
Then he pulled back and shook his head.
I'll have to go into town and get some things.
There isn't any good food here for us.
Town? Where was the closest town? I just remembered trees.
I'll have to drive there too. It'll be an hour before I get back.
Kellen sounded frustrated, but within seconds he was gone. And I was left alone in a magical house and trees that were alive surrounding it. I knew I wasn't only human, but I felt very helpless in that moment. After a few more minutes of sitting there, still feeling shocked at the turn of events, I stood to grab my bag and headed to one of the higher floors. I wandered around, studying all the bedrooms, and settled on one in a back corner. It had its own bathroom and windows on both sides. The bed was a king size on top of a sturdy wooden base and headboard. It was a simple bedroom with quilts to make it look homey for the human eye, but warm for the demonic body, especially on colder nights. I knew Kellen would appreciate the quilts, but then I remembered the entire house was given to him. Of course he'd appreciate them. They were probably put there just for him. I looked through my bag, saw two changes of clothes, and then started poking in the closets. After finding clothes upon clothes in my size and his, I wasn't sure why Kellen had even bothered to pack bags. However, I was glad he'd thought to pack a book. At least I could read something if I got really bored. Checking my phone, I saw that he'd been gone for an hour. I figured that he'd be back soon, so I headed into the shower. Afterwards, I dressed in some clothes from the closet, a comfortable pair of black running pants and a loose gray top. Heading back down, I started poking around for a liquor cabinet. There had to be one. Kellen wasn't much for drinking, but I knew he enjoyed some on occasion. It seemed the appropriate thing to do in our first night at the sanctuary. I pulled out a bottle of wine. With two large glasses in hand, I turned for the kitchen for a bottle opener. But as soon as my foot took one step forward, the house started to shake. At first it was the floors, then the walls, then the roof. Everything was shaking. Furniture started to glide across the floor, moved by the waves of shaking. I dropped the bottle and glasses onto a couch, and then I stopped feeling the movements. My eyes caught sight of a chandelier in the foyer, saw that it was still shaking, and then I looked down. I wasn't shaking because I was floating in the air, much how I had been the night I'd turned Matt into a zombie. Just like then, I started to fall, but I caught myself. My eyes shut, and I concentrated in my mind. Stay, I barked at myself, but I started falling again slowly.
Stop thinking, and it will happen.
The voice wasn't Kellen's, and my eyes snapped open to see an elderly woman in the corner. Her hair was silver, pulled over her shoulders to rest below her ribcage. She was dressed in a black cloak with white trim. Both of her arms were folded over each other, and the white trim moved when she opened her arms to me.
Child, you radiate the same ferocity of your father.
I landed on my feet, but jumped to a far corner. Who are you? She smiled again, gently, but with a rueful look in her eyes.
I am your aunt, your mother's sister.
My what?
I know.
She glided forward smoothly and smiled to herself as if remembering fond memories.
You were told that your mother was a human in love with a demon, but she wasn't. Your real mother was a Nephilim. Such as yourself, a hybrid of human and messenger. However, your mother's body wasn't strong enough to hold you, so they put you in that human's body. Her body had been strengthened from years of loving her demon. He had carved her out and enforced the inside of her with demonic power. None of it touched you. We made sure of it, but you were special. You were supposed to be born, so we put you in there, hiding you from your father also. She sighed. It made me happy, just getting you away from your father.
My knees gave out and I fell to the stairs where I had been hovering over.
What? Huh?
She laughed then, and the sound reverberated deep within me. It was a rich sound, strong, and I felt the ancestry go into me. It went deep and took root. In that moment, I felt her in me, that we were a part of each other. Her memories rushed through me at a rapid pace. Flashes of her as a young girl with blonde hair came to me. They were quickly followed by images of her with another younger woman, whose green eyes turned and looked at me. I gasped, flailing backward, when I felt the other woman see me. They were memories, but it was as if she really could see me.
She can see you. That's your mother. Your true mother.
My aunt had moved to sit beside me. She watched me, concerned, and touched my hand with hers. It was a warm touch, but more of her rushed into me. The physical contact seared everything else, sealing the contact, and something woke inside of me. The messenger woke, feeling her family's blood near. She railed against me on the inside, wanting to get out.
No! Oh my God, no!
I gasped, lunging forward. She was so strong, trying to break free. I couldn't hold her back, and I felt my body lurch into the air, arching backward. A light came out of me. It shone from my eyes, my nose, my mouth, even my ears. My fingertips were like flashlights, shining outward. Let her come. She needs to see me. She will calm down after this, I promise you, my aunt whispered, touching my throat tenderly. I watched her, nearly helpless now, from the corner of my eye. My head had turned to the side and a tear slid down to the corner of my eyelid. It held onto my eyelash before it slipped and fell to the floor. My aunt caught it in the palm of her hand and moved it to the tip of her finger before she lifted it back to me. As she placed it back on my eye, she murmured with a soft smile, "You shouldn't cry about this. Not this tear, anyway. This is a good thing. It will always be a good thing." The tear moved back into my eye, and it was the last straw. The messenger doubled her fervor, and I swallowed, closing my eyes when I felt my insides tear once more.
Kellen. Kellen watched through a window in the north corner of the house. He was perched on a tree limb, and it moved close so he could better see. The house moved, too, giving him the best view of what was happening in the foyer of his sanctuary. The connection between him and Shay had started pulsating moments before, and then it rattled with such force, so much power, that he knew what had happened when he'd been gone. The messenger had come, knowing he was away. He wasn't surprised. He'd expected it. But he hadn't expected to feel Shay's fear as if it were his own. It terrified her, consumed her so much that he was tempted to enter to help calm her. However, his presence, one of a demon, would potentially enrage the messenger, even the one inside of Shay. It was stronger being near another of her own, especially one of her family. When the messenger broke free once more, he felt Shay snap to him. She came across the invisible connection and rested next to him, as if perched on the tree beside him. Her body was still inside with the messenger in control, but Shay was with him, watching too. They both held their breaths when the messenger rushed to the elder messenger. Their arms wrapped around the other, holding on tightly. Both had tears streaming down with smiles of relief on their faces. It was a touching moment. Of long-lost relatives being reunited. Kellen watched, feeling disconnected from the emotional welcoming back. His connection was beside him, not in that body, so it was as if he watched mere strangers. A part of him felt as if he shouldn't be so close to his enemy, but he knew Shay would return. Then everything in him would become alarmed again, doubling in its ferocity. Because the messenger had broken free once more, threatening Shay's hold over her. It threatened their own connection, too, because if he lost Shay, Then he lost everything. But he knew the messenger needed to be consoled by her own blood, and he was hoping that Ame would remember her end of the bargain. He brought Shay to her, and she in turn would soothe the messenger, tell her that everything would be fine, if she would trust her human counterpart. Shay's aunt was supposed to make the messenger more compliant with them, not against him as much. He swallowed tightly, hoping his gamble would pay off. If Ame went back on her word, taking her niece with her and forgetting the human part of Shay behind, then he would have a different war on his hands. This one would get bloody, whereas he hoped the other one still wouldn't, with Vesper being the exception. After a few tense moments watching how Ame bent her head, hugging her niece and whispered into her ear, Kellen wasn't sure how much longer he could hold himself back. He wanted to break in, force the messenger to allow Shay back in, or force Shay to take over again. He remained, and then, after what seemed like an hour, Ame lifted her head with tears in her eyes and looked up at him. She smiled and whispered the words that floated up to him. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this time with her. She will help you. I promise you this. As the last word was spoken, Shay was yanked back from beside him. She sailed down and into her body where it collapsed to the ground. Kellen lithely jumped to the ground in one leap and entered through the front door. He stepped inside and saw that Ame had moved Shay's body, now sleeping, to the couch. She sat beside her and smoothed her hair back, brushing it with her fingers. He stopped in the living room's doorway, just watching the tender movement. Shay already loves you. I can feel it. Ame bent her head, closing her eyes. Her shoulders started to shake, and he heard the sounds of crying coming from her. Sobs then started to rack her body, and she crumbled, throwing herself over Shay. He turned, knowing his gamble had paid off. The elder messenger would help them, and she had persuaded the one inside of Shay to help as well. Because of it, Shay would be strong, even more powerful than he knew. And so would he. The two of them could withstand her father's arrival now. Chapter 15. When I woke, I found myself on the bed of the room that I had chosen earlier. A blanket had been placed over me, but it wasn't needed. I was hot. Really hot. In fact, I was burning up. Then I heard voices below me. They were soft, as if whispering. But I knew they weren't. It was Kellen and my aunt in the kitchen. Then, with a gasp, everything rushed at me again. The voices went from soft to loud, too loud. I clamped my hands over my ears and burrowed underneath the pillows, but it did nothing to soften their volume. It was nearly painful now. But that wasn't the only problem. I saw everything in perfect detail, as if I held up a microscope to my eye. My blanket went from looking like a normal blanket, one that I would admire the colors and textures, to the particles that made up the individual threads. I saw it all, even the dust that rested on each tiny particle. And the smells. I pressed my nose to my pillow, trying to stop from smelling so much, from the dew that still lingered from the morning to the night owls that rested miles away in a tree. My stomach twisted over, threatening to spill out from all the smells. My entire body was on fire, protesting from all the information that I was taking in. I could feel Kellen's heartbeat, how it pounded at a regular slow pace, and then picked up, sensing that I had woken. Their footsteps pounded like 10 herds of elephants, and soon I felt Kellen's hands on my shoulders. He lifted me up and held me against his chest. But it was too much. I scrambled away, crying, gasping. Please, no. It's too much. I swung my eyes to my aunt and saw the understanding in them. She knew what I was going through, and I choked out, "Help me, please."
The messenger has bonded with her again. She can't handle everything at once. She senses too much. It's overwhelming her.
I know. Kellen growled and then stood before me. He tried to look gentle, but the fear was clawing at him. I felt it within him. It was clawing at me, too. He didn't know how to help me. He didn't know how to make it stop. Then he made up his mind. Out, now.
My aunt went, but looked back over her shoulder before pulling the door shut behind her. I felt her concern as if it was my own, and it shook me.
How I could feel that? How could I know what she was thinking? What she was feeling when she wasn't me?
Kellen gripped my shoulders and lifted me in the air. He carried me, holding me against his chest, and went to one of my windows. It was opened in an instant, and then he perched there, holding me for a moment and leapt through the air. The trees moved for us. Some helped us along the way, brushing their leaves against us, while others ducked out of the way. We landed in the small pool behind the house, with the waterfall beside us. With one hand on the back of my head, he ducked us both underneath. Immediately, everything went away. It was as if I was normal again. The old Shay who didn't know who I was. The relief was so powerful in me, I almost started crying. But I opened my eyes and saw Kellen in front of me. He held us on the bottom, anchoring us there, and he watched me. Fearful. I felt it inside of me, taking root. I smiled and lifted both of my hands to grasp his face. My thumbs rubbed back and forth at the corners of his lips, and something else started to come over me. The fervor was deep inside, but it started to climb. Then it matched with his, entwined and twisted together, to build even faster, higher, at a rapid pace. My heart started pounding. I gasped, but water rushed inside. Before I closed my mouth to stop more water from getting in, Kellen slammed his mouth over mine. His lips sucked the inside of my mouth dry, taking the water back out. He moved back once to spit it out, but his mouth was back before I fully realized he had even left. One of his hands gripped the back of my neck, and the other lifted me up so my legs wrapped around his waist. He held us steady there, on the bottom of the lake. My arms wrapped around him, but I was lost on the inside of him. Everything was wrapped with him. My heartbeat was racing so fast I was afraid that I'd combust in a moment. But I never did. Kellen calmed me down, still kissing me with a finger on the pulse at my neck. He rubbed against it, and somehow it calmed me. But then the hunger for him burst inside of me. It exploded, and I held on, weak, as if I was starving. My lips searched his. He gripped me tightly against him, and then we were going to the surface. We broke the surface, and I gasped, pulling away. My eyes saw everything through a glaze of water still on my eyelids. It was as if we were still swimming, but I blinked a few times and brushed away the water. I saw it all clearly, and then too clearly. Everything until Kellen held my head in his hands. His eyes bore into mine, and he commanded, "You can control this. She was a part of you before. She's a part of you now. Accept it. Accept her. Accept everything else. Even though I know you don't want to, but you have to." He jerked me against him, wrapping his arms around me in a tight hug, and kissed my shoulder. "Accept who you are. Please. I need you." My fingers clung into his shoulders, digging into them. I was trying. I really was. But everything was too much. I felt the birds as they landed on their nests. I heard the laughter from a neighbor on his phone miles away.
I felt my aunt's concern in the house behind us, sitting in a corner in the kitchen with a glass of wine to calm her nerves. Her hands clutched it tightly, and her fingers were tapping the counter in a nervous reaction. I felt everything. Still, and I couldn't handle it. Then I gasped, arching upward in the water, surging against him.
Shay,
Kellen choked out, the sound gurgling in the back of his throat as he held onto my waist when I leapt upward. It was too much. It was all too much. And then something in him shifted. He shifted inside of me. It was his demon. He reached inside, leapt with me, and yanked at everything. It was fine. It was all gone. I still felt all the information, everything that I had sensed, but it was okay. I could handle it, and I didn't know why. I didn't know what had happened, but I realized that Kellen's forehead was pressed to my shoulder, limp. He hung on to me as if I was holding him afloat now. He'd gone slack from exhaustion. Something occurred between us, something with his demon, because all his energy was spent. I swam to the edge, holding him with me until we got to the bank. Then I pushed him up and rested beside him, collapsing. A clothed foot stepped beside me, and my aunt's silver cloak bunched to the ground when she knelt at my head. Her hand came to rest on my cheek.
You should rest, child. You have gone through much.
She straightened, and I heard her say further,
as has he.
We were both lifted in the air. Kellen was asleep, but his hand fell out, reaching for me. I put my hand in his, and then we were both being carried through the air, to the house, and to my bed. Kellen was placed next to me, and his arm reached out to curl around me, pulling me close. He tucked his chin on my shoulder and twisted a leg around mine, before he fell into a deep sleep. I looked up at my aunt, who had followed behind to perch on the edge of the bed at my head. She smiled in the moonlight now, and combed my hair back behind my ear.
You are very beautiful, just like her.
An image of my mother flashed through me. Pain followed quickly behind. She added,
My name is Almay, and I am honored to meet you, Shay. To meet both of you.
My eyelids fluttered closed. The exhaustion was too much, but I wondered whom she meant, the messenger and me, or Kellen and me. Then I fell asleep, and nothing mattered. When I woke, it was night again, and I sat up.
How are you?
Kellen asked, perched on a windowsill. It gave him a mysterious feline and lethal look at the same time. Then he blinked, and all the mystery was gone, rising in a fluid motion. My heart skipped a beat, but I answered, breathless. I'm fine. You? He cracked a grin.
Shay, don't lie to me. How are you? How is she?
Then it all flooded me again. The sensory overload, the pool, the kiss, and then his demon. What did you do to me?
Nothing.
He stood before me as I still sat in bed. Neither of us moved, but we breathed as one. The air felt heavy. Too heavy. One breath. Two breaths. I asked, holding mine. Was that you or was that? His eyes held mine, shining with a fierce emotion.
What do you think?
I already knew. His demon had gone inside of me, but why? What did he do? What did he want? Did he hurt me?
Kellen snorted. He helped you. Are you serious?
But why would a demon help me? Help a hybrid?
I'm a hybrid.
Kellen bit out, in front of me in a flash. He braced both arms on either side of me on the bed and bent forward until his nose was an inch from mine. As his eyes bore into mine, he repeated slowly, with deadly promise.
I am a hybrid, too. I am human, and I am a demon. You're not just a hybrid, Shay. And by the way, she's merged with you.